They're both old as dirt. One of them is passed on, but one of them is still here. I'm going to start out with something, just hearing the last speakers just in the introduction. And people said, why do you have an old geologist talking about with all these eminent soils people? Well, one thing is different that from people who worked for soil survey investigations in the early 60s through middle 70s, there were these geologist, geomorphologist teams, but I was in the unique position of just asked to do geology, not do soils. I could do windows, dishes, anything, but I couldn't do soils. I was surrounded by the great soil scientists of the era, my partners. And one of them here, Larry Wilding, and I took a course Tom Fenton was maybe in there too. And so I'm going to start out. I want to thank the people who got me into this business. Guy Smith, Bob Rui, Fred Peterson, who by leaving the Desert Project opened up a space for me to join the staff in 1962. I'm going to read a few things and then go into my PowerPoint. I have a big, long, eighth approximation on the life of Lee Guile and B.L. That is in Word. It has all their references. Also, it has the complete list of B.L.'s list of publications and Lee Guile's, which is like several hundred, and they're all on a Word document, and anybody who can, all they have to do is get, I have cards, and I do consulting and water witching in New Mexico, so anybody wants to do that. But to this audience, I need only mention the sea change in pedology and the Federal Cooperative Soil Survey Program that started in 1951 and culminated with the 1975 publication of Soil Taxonomy. However, a few comments are still appropriate because related institutional changes were the driving force behind establishment of soil survey investigations, laboratories, the Soil Geomorphology projects of that era. When first exposed to physical geographic concepts in the early 50s, I was taught there were only two major types of mid-latitude soils, pedalfers and pedicles, with the latter primarily locating west of the 100th meridian, little knowing that my soul was destined for pedicle heaven. My mindset quickly changed, however, when introduced to modern pedologic concepts in 1959 and 60, primarily through change classes in soil genesis and classification and soil survey field methods taught respectively by R.T. Odell and Joe Fehrenbacher at the University of Illinois. Our primary textbooks were the 1951 Soil Survey Manual and the hot off the press edition of a brown, soft-colored tome titled Soil Classification, a Comprehensive System, Seventh Approximation. Larry Wilding will vouch that I actually passed the course and that had the temerity to satirize the new classification systems with a Jingle Bells parody at a class just before the 1960 Christmas break. Someone there, probably SCS Soil Correlator LJ Lindo Bartelli, instigated a long-distance call to Guy Smith in Washington for a class sing-along holiday greeting. This doggerel was even published by Francis Hole in an early edition of Soil Survey Horizons. Hopefully, all copies have been destroyed. But the words that I vaguely recall do capture the spirit of this changing pedologic time. So before we get serious, I will sing as I recall, and Larry and Tom, I think, Argyle Ball, Argyle Ball, Argyle Ball away, Oh, what fun it is to be rid of humid glaze. Brunisms are out, or thuds steal the show. All such things are obsolete. Brown Bible tells us so. Alpha sols are in, but podzols are a no. Frag gloss you doffs and tip you doffs. On and on they go. Oh, hargabo, so on. Anyway, that. The rest of the 25 minutes are for questions. No. Anyway, thanks, all you guys out there. Thank you for this opportunity to share some cherished memories of two pedologist friends and mentors who have enriched our personal and professional lives beyond measure. One, B.L. Allen, is here with us today at this symposium held in his honor. The other, Leland H. Guile, who passed away in November 2009, is definitely here in spirit. In a distinguished career now spanning seven decades, B.L. has received many prestigious honors and awards, including fellowship in this society. But I suspect, however, that this symposium itself will rank very high in any honors category, particularly because speakers and audience include so many former students and college who are now pursuing their own distinguished careers, sometimes being old as dirt actually pays off. Just being able to share a podium with such an eminent group of pedologists and other earth scientists is my own special award for being almost old as dirt. Wayne Hudnall, Susan Kesby Horton, and B.L. himself all deserve special thanks or blame for invitation to speak and their help to talk and their help in preparation for this talk. The next speaker, Larry Wilding, will soon have a chance to set the pedologic record straight because he also dates back PT, that's pre-taxonomy, when we were both in the class at the University of Illinois. If only I had switched my major then, I too might have amounted to something, particularly since an emeritus professorship at the Lone Star Republic's Berkeley on the Brazos definitely trumps emeritus geostatus at what we call New Mexico Tech Rutgers on the Rio Grande in the Banana Republic of Nuevo Mexico. B.L. Allen and Lee Guile represent the epitome of true gentlemen and scholars. So what a privilege it is for all of us to be able to dwell on their stellar accomplishments. For more than six decades, these consummate environmental earth scientists have made seminal contributions to the interlinked disciplines of pedology and geomorphology in the context of landscape evolution in arid and semi-arid lands, parts of the binational American West. While both have been essentially field-oriented, B.L. remains firmly anchored in his teaching and field laboratory research base at Texas Tech University, and Lee spent most of his professional career from 1957 to 2009 in the Desert Soil Geomorphology Project area headquartered at New Mexico State University, where he initially worked as a soil scientist for the SCS from 57 to 72. The only time that B.L. and Lee had a chance to work in close proximity was from the 1971 to 1977 period during the short-lived Southern Plains Soil Geomorphology Project. B.L. and Plant and Soil Science Department Chair Harold Dregney played key roles in initiating this collaborative endeavor at Texas Tech. And I have a poster here that I collected in 1971 when I moved there. And they also encouraged B.L. and Harold, who was a colleague at New Mexico State, and Gerald Thomas, Dean of Agriculture and then President of New Mexico at Tech and then President of New Mexico State, encouraged us to finish the Desert Project, get the Grossman, Guile Grossman Soil Survey monograph, and then our Desert Project guidebook. Appropriate to the linkages theme of this symposium, I suggest that many key elements of the very productive careers of B.L. and Lee may simply relate to a serendipitous combinations of events, locations, and special strengths of character. After distinguished overseas military service in World War II, both left familiar home territories in Hill County, East Texas, and New England, mostly New Hampshire and Maine, to study the landscapes and cultures of exotic places like Michigan, Wisconsin, West Texas, New Mexico, and of course, Mexico. I also often offer two of my favorite fortune cookie quotes, which I believe capture the essence of the major character traits that have produced so many meritorious results. One, you are more likely to give than to give in. Second, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And each of the following symposium presentations illustrate and amplify some points made in this introductory talk. First, both pedology and geomorphology are earth science disciplines characterized by very fuzzy boundaries between the classroom, laboratory environment, and the great outdoors. Second, what I presume to call the Allen Guile era of pedology and geomorphology has now produced several robust generations of soil scientists, earth scientists, and others, some in academia, others in government or private sector positions. These people can effectively, relate to the real needs of this beleaguered planet, and they're definitely not lost in cyberspace. Third, I submit that BL and Lee were among the first, if not the first, to effectively apply the modern tools of pedology and soil geomorphology to unraveling the linkages of pedogenesis and landscape evolution in semi-arid and arid parts of the southern Great Plains and eastern Basin Range. After briefly reviewing Lee and Beale's formative years as well as the state of earth science during the early Cold War period, I'll conclude with some specific examples of their major contributions to closely linked disciplines of pedology, geology, geomorphology, archaeology, biogeography, and paleohydrology of the West Texas, New Mexico, and Northern Mexico region. Emphasis will be on the 1957-79 period, with companion presentations by Vance Holliday, Curtis Monger, Ted Sobeck, April Ulrey, Carolyn Olson, and others, Les McFadden, and others, adding more details. The expanded text of this talk is available as a Word document. So please bear with me while I try to share several decades of memories in about 15 minutes and help me recall a bygone era when time and funding were available for some good old-fashioned field and laboratory science in the absence of so many of today's fancy gadgets and especially onerous and counterproductive bureaucratic constraints. I'm a libertarian. Ron Paul did approve his speech. Let's go back. You know those guys. I've covered these points So I'm just going to move there. Okay. As many of you know, people, is this guy even going to get close to finishing it in 10 minutes? But this is Beale. Who's that gal standing behind Beale? I don't know. It was on one of his many field trips. Okay, let's just run through. There's Hill County, Texas. There's Texas Technological College, 1942 through 42, interrupted by the Great Second War in the service in the Pacific Theater, back to Texas Technological College to finish, and then at Eastern New Mexico State College, now Eastern New Mexico University, and for a long period, off and on. And then I have a close colleague, head of the department, retired from New Mexico State University, William E. King, who remembers BL at Portales, New Mexico. He said, you could set your clock on BL's work schedule. At 10 o'clock, every night, they were in the same building, that you'd hear a door slam, and the BL was heading for home in down beautiful downtown Portales. But already he was a High Plains drifter, right out of a Clint Eastwood movie. And then he was back working where my family's from, Michigan. He was with Gene Whiteside at Michigan State in Lansing. And you see his first publications in the Society Journal, or Proceedings back then, with Allen and Whiteside on the soils of glaciated stuff, where Lee Gile at the same time was over with Francis Hole at Wisconsin working on drumlins. So these guys cut their teeth in that area. Then in 59, he was back here. And I think about the same time he got there, they decided to make Texas Technological College a university. And it's been a class act ever since. There we are. If you were flying over Idaloo, just a few miles north of east of Lubbock, this is what you'd see. And after you've been there about 3 or 4 years, like I was, you start to see the topography. These are the Playa Lakes. There's 20,000 of these little closed Buffalo Waller type basins. And I wish I could talk about all the characters I met, including Tex Reeves and others at Texas Tech. But this is what it looks like. And as I mentioned, most of his career reflects this classroom laboratory atmosphere at a major university. But it's the High Plains is totally different from New Mexico, as I found. It's a world class to this day agricultural enterprise community. Everything from farming, ranching, state-of-the-art irrigation, and Beale has gotten all these awards, but like I say, he's a distinguished alum at New Mexico Tech, but I suspect in his heart of hearts what the awards he's gotten today are going to rank up there. By 59, people were really well prepared for life careers, as was Lee Gile. First, he knew not only the fiscal landscape, but also the social, economic, and political culture of the Southern Great Plains, plus the Spanish language, plus. He was already an accomplished pedologist with specialties in mineralogy, petrography, soil survey methods, working with the SCS in Michigan and elsewhere, and interpretations and soil geomorphic relationships. He hit the ground running as a superb teacher, and by 19, 65, was a full professor of tech, at Tech. And his legendary coaching career in soul judging was well underway. Finally, in a preordained, imperfect world, Behel has had one unfair advantage of being just as neat a human being as one could hope for. Okay, now that's a Texas-sized soul judging pit. I don't know how they got the cars down the bottom of that damn thing, but they did. And here's BL, of course. And that, Wayne Hudnall talks about freezing. You ever been out there when a blue northern comes into across the plains where it goes from someplace up in Montana, suddenly moves down to Lubbock? In about 78, towards the end of my story, things really boiled over at Tex Tech. That's a misprint on the slide. It's 1968, not 78. I'll blame it on PowerPoint, not on me. By 78, he had authored at least 10 major publications on all these diverse topics, with the emphasis on mineralogy, micromorphology, paleopodology, and environmental concerns. And most impressive of all was this roster of you people sitting here who were destined to go on. I'm going to flip now to the other guy. Many of you have been to the Desert Project. We won't beat that. This is Lee Guile out on the ARS Hornet Experimental Range. And right at the bottom of his feet is a layer of pumice from an eruption of a volcano in northern New Mexico, Jemez, 1.6 million years ago. Now that's good dating, and the soil has formed this giant petrocalcic something. I've forgotten all my paleoargid there, with a lot of dust on top. Well, Lee has about the same track record. He's Maine, New Hampshire. Lee started with the SCS, the old SCS, in 39. Then he was in the Air Force, Europe. Met his wife, Dora, who was an engineer or armorer. He was an armorer. His wife was a mechanic. Went back, finished at the University of New Hampshire, worked at Harvard Forest with Walter Lyford, then with Francis Hole with Wisconsin. And then he started at Cornell with Marlon Klein. Well, Marlon Klein shipped out to Africa. Lee was 37, veteran. He got a call from Rui and Guy Smith. Would you take over the soils? We want somebody. We have an unmapped 1,000 square kilometer area of desert down there that nobody's ever touched. All the irrigation, all the agriculture was in the Rio Grande Valley. Nobody had ever gone out in the boonies, these alluvial fans and stuff, and mapped. So Lee went out and for the next 4 years just brute force mapped. I went in when they built the Apollo site, logged about 30 miles of trenches up to 50 feet for water supply, gas lines for the Desert Project. I never caught Lee off. He was interested in all the things, soil boundaries, and he also, Lee, Fred Peterson, Bob Grossman, and Rui was there for the first 2 or 3 years, they set up the first dust traps. I was just found out that out in California, you don't put marbles in dust traps because there's some kind of bird that goes in there and picks out the marbles. But in Las Cruces in about 1958, you couldn't buy a marble in El Paso. You couldn't buy a marble because Rui and Kyle and all those guys. I like Rui. I love Rui because when I was with Bob Rui, they'd say, who's that nice, polite young guy next to Dr. Rui? You always want to hang, or Tex Reeves, you always want to hang around somebody who's a little more of a curmudgeon than you are. So Lee goes on to, this is the Desert Project. It's a Color IR, New Mexico State. I guess there's a pointer. Yeah, here's New Mexico State University, right there. And Las Cruces. Here's Highway 70, road going out to White Sands. We got a Playa Lake here. We got the 3,000 meter high Organ Mountains, 1,200 meter high valley elevation of the Rio Grande. The irrigation. This is one of the largest pecan orchards in the world, right here. Our dust traps were all over the place. We have soils that are basically just rhyolite, non-carbonate soils, alluvium with low carbonate, yet they had huge calcic horizons. What we found in BL here years ago, starting at Texas Tech, people like ARS people, Fred Lospeach and others here at Texas Tech, and Young and Verby, and by the late 30s or late 50s, were already documenting that atmospheric contributions for soils in arid lands, semi-arid lands, were really big, big items. If you had a stable geomorphic surface, like the Llano Estacado Llano Estacado. But here we had, and then a carbonate, totally limestone mountain range, and these old geomorphic surfaces that dated back 1 or 2 million years. Now, where you have your paleocalcids, you're really on the high plains here in the south of Muleshoe or the Stegall Loam. These soils are started to form 6 million years ago. Okay, so anyway, we've done all this. Lee worked in here too on the Bailey County Sand Hills, and but so the Lee and BL have striking contrast in their careers, but there's some similarities. The Lone Star Republic and New England traits that show through have been effectively masked by post-29 historical events. They both lived through the Great Depression, World War II. They had a robust educational system. And they both had this special interest in soil mineralogy, micromorphology, fine earth constituents. Common silicate clays, sepiolite, palygorskite, opal, zeolites, and ubiquitous microscopic calcite, micrites, and anything related to atmospheric additions to arid and semi-arid regions really turned them on. They both, one was in the basin range, one was up here on the high plains, but even with such disparities in their inimitable personal styles, BL and Lee have set the bar for pedologic and soil landscaping research in this semi-arid part of the Southwest U.S. They will always be remembered as very effective pedological pedagogues. So, I'm saying goodbye, BL. Adios, and here's Lee. Here's Lee at the 19 tour. This was Lee's classroom. Same site out there. The group is standing on the outcrop of this 1.6 million year ash. This is the Jornada Range, another flat old surface. And so here's goodbye, old friend. This is Bill Seeger, kind of senior geologist. I'm over here. The Organ Mountains, this is that giant pit up in the Donianas that we take desert with a 2.5 to 5 YR argillic with about 60% silicate clay over a petrocalcic at the bottom. And that's Lee, that dust, heading this way. And that's Lee moving out towards Madison and New Hampshire. Thank you so much.